Good morning. I was a little worried I misplaced these. I was thinking I was going to be blind up here, which would have been a fun adventure. Right? Couldn't tell if I was putting you to sleep or, what I was going to read either. Anyway, good morning. So glad you're here. Real quick, I love that song. Love that song. It wrecks me every time. Anyway, seriously, I love it. Every time it's played at camp, it grabs a hold of our teens, and it sets the tone to realize how much Jesus loves us, right? It just sets the tone to understand he's willing to do whatever it takes to love you right where you're at. And that's an amazing thing to know, that he would be willing to leave this group and find the one that needs his love. We need to understand that as a church. That's a huge thing, to understand that the love of God, whether we're running from him, whether we've spit on the cross with Adam, whatever we've cursed his name, he loves us, and he's willing to go running after us. That's grace, and I praise God for that this morning. Last week, we talked about, we ended the sermon series of looking for sacred moments and knowing that it's not confined to things that we think is sacred, but actually the moments that God has preordained, or even us being willing to say, God, bring this sacred moment together where I can share your love, your grace, your mercy, your salvation, that I can share the love that you've installed in me, and then I need to go out to my neighbor and share that. We talked about looking for those sacred moments in the most obscure places. We live in a world where we're not supposed to bring God to the workforce. We live in that confinement and of our understanding, but the reality is we don't live under that. We live under God. And with that comes his understanding of how we can share the grace, how we can share the gospel. And we just finished up that series, and we're going to start one that's called Dangerous Prayers, Praying Dangerously. All right? And I'm going to stick to one book today. I'm going to stick to one chapter today. I'm not going to float around. You don't have to none of that today. It's Matthew 6. All right? Matthew 6. Go ahead it's not working for me. You got me? All right. It's a good morning. All right. One more. All right. Matthew 6, 5-8. All right, we're going to start there. Let me go ahead and open mine. This is the Ben version at the beginning, all right? You have Jesus talking to the disciples. This is where he is sitting on the mount, and he's going through the whole plethora of what it is to be a follower of Christ, right? And then he brings up prayer. And what does that look like? And at that time, prayer was one of those things where you would stand up here, and you would be an eloquent speaker. You'd be everything that I'm not, right? You'd be prepared. You'd be impressed. You would go, what's that word mean? And go away and go, wow, that person knows how to speak. And that prayer, woo, woo. I don't know exactly what he said, but woo. It was awesome. I know it. And they would just relish in that. And it wasn't really a moment with God. It wasn't really a moment where they were praying to God. It wasn't really that going on. It was them going, okay, how can I look good? How can I stand in front of this corner of the synagogue and be like, I am holy? And walk away knowing that guy's holy because he said it and he prayed it. Right? And Jesus said, that's not what this is about. And he looked at his disciples, who were all a bunch of misfits. They were not the holy ones compared to the ones that have been through the whole training to become a rabbi, to become a priest. They didn't go through that training. They sat with Jesus, who, and they were the rejects. They were at home. They were doing work from what the parents were doing, or they were even looked up, down upon as tax collectors. They were not the people that would be considered holy. And he brought them on, and he said, okay, this is what this means. This is what prayer looks like. So let's talk about that real quick. And this is pretty famous prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. Are we on it? All right, good. All right. This is then is how you should pray. And I'm going to ask you to join me with this, all right? But I'm going to stop you a couple times. So our Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. We're out of practice. COVID. I blame COVID, all right? Or the person standing up here, one of the two. All right, what does that mean? First off, this prayer is probably well known, right? Anybody ever say this prayer? No? I see you, Easton. I saw you shake your head. Jay, you got to get on that, all right, today, all right? This is one of those prayers that probably everybody knows. They go through Sunday school, or if they recite it. I remember standing here and as a freshman in high school, and I heard this prayer, and I'm like, I guess we're supposed to know this, like the Pledge of Allegiance, and I didn't know it, and I'm just saying, heaven, earth. I would always catch that third word, right? Anyway, we know this, but I'm going to contend that we really don't know this. Jesus is so intentional with how he taught his disciples. So at the very beginning, this is the front end of a prayer. Who is he acknowledging? His Father in heaven. He's giving all the glory to his Father in heaven. I don't know about you. Most of the times my prayers do start, oh, dear Lord, right? Sounds like more of like shock and awe when you say, oh, dear Lord, right? Or our Father. And something prays, but then I go into, please help me. I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Right at the beginning of this prayer is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Let's examine that really quick. This right here means whatever God you want within the realm of my life, you rule. That's how he starts off the prayer. You are the ruler of my life. And from this point on, whatever decisions, whatever thing I'm thinking, whatever is in my heart and my mind, you are the king. You are the one that dictates that. You are the one that plants the flag and says, okay, we go this direction today. And so that's how he starts the prayer off. My years of youth ministry, my years of ministry, I've seen some things and I thought, okay, this is interesting. The moment I've gotten ordained, the moment that I got my district license, the moment I went through schooling, my parents and my family thought I was designated prayer from that point on. They thought, you're a professional. And you need to pray. And I will say, years went on, and I was like, okay, I guess that's what that means. And as I got older, I started going, no, wait a minute. As a pastor, as what Jesus was doing with his disciples, we are teaching you, the church, his disciples, how to pray. Too much that I realized through my years of ministry that salvation and prayer and all the acts that is done by a believer is put upon the people that sit in this position. And the reality is Jesus is looking at his disciples saying, this is how you pray. This is how you communicate. I started this last year when COVID hit and we had to like disband as a church. and we didn't meet, and we sat together as a staff on Zoom, not together, on Zoom, and thought, how can we still serve our church? And so we got online. And one of us, and it was an awesome thing, she decided, all right, I'm going to go to the hospital, and we're going to write down every name that you say that's connected to, you know, a medical field. And she brought her chalk, and she didn't realize what she just did. She now has a cramp permanently in her hand, because people just would get online and like, so-and-so needs this prayer, and so-and-so needs this prayer, and so-and-so needs this prayer, right? And she did that every week. Not just in the medical field, and went to the teachers, and she would just open it up. And we realized something there. There's a huge need. People are wanting these prayer requests to happen. But we missed a step. We missed it that they were so willing to give a prayer request, but I wondered how much of their intentionality in their prayer life that they were giving it to. You see, she did all this work. She'd go to any of the schools and write, and my thought was, and our thought became afterwards, why didn't we challenge our people to do this? To maybe even go out into their own driveway and put those names, so every time they went in and out of their house, they knew, okay, Johnny needs prayer today. He needs to be loved. He needs to be reminded in my heart and my mind that, God, please go after that one. And not go, okay, I gave it to Pastor Ben, he's got it. I don't have to worry about it anymore. See, praying engages us with our Lord and Savior. And right there in the very first thing that he says, the simplistic prayer that he gave his disciples just at the beginning is telling us who we belong to. Such an intentionality. And then it brings us to responsibility of how we live that out. Right? We move on to the next one. Give us today our daily bread. This is an awesome one. I love it because I love bread. My daughter, and really my daughter, but she's got help from Michelle. They just got this new mixer. It's awesome. She loves it, and she's been making bread left and right. I love it. Right, I've already had to move one notch in the belt. It's awesome. Love it. So after this, we have the, you know, God is our king, our ruler. And then we come to him with our petitions. And this is twofold. This is spiritual and physical. Back then, they didn't know if daily bread, daily food was going to be a thing. You know, they would walk through the day and be like, all right, are we able to find this food? Are we able to nourish our bodies today physically? We don't know where it's going to come from. But God, give us today our daily bread. Can you imagine being like in that moment in your prayer life where this is actually a need? This is something that you don't know if it's going to come or not. But you lay it at his feet. And the other aspect of this, too, and this is called the bread of life. Think about that. So not just physically, but spiritually, Lord, bring us our spiritual food daily. Not monthly, not Sundays, not Wednesdays, daily. May I break this open, may I hear it. May I absorb it. A great speaker, I can't remember his name, he put it this way. Can you remember every meal that you've had? Maybe in this past week, can you remember every meal that you had this week? Anybody? Can you remember every meal you ate? How about, can you remember one meal that you ate? Can you? Was it really good or was it really bad? Don't answer. All right? I had a great meal on Friday. Driving back home, I was so stuffed. I was so ready to hit the bed. I was tired. I was in a food coma. I ate way too much. But I remember that. I don't remember what I ate on Monday. It probably wasn't anything good. Oh, wait, I should have said, I'm sorry. Wife made dinner that night. Oh, I'm in trouble. Good thing we drove separate today. I don't remember every meal that I've had. The speaker said that we're not going to remember everything that we read, but every meal nourished me for that day. Yeah, scripture can be mundane sometimes. I'm going to say it. There are moments where, like, even your heart's not in it. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to sustain you. And there's going to be moments where you go, okay, that was so impactful. But if you're not doing it daily, you're going to miss out on that meal. You're going to miss out on that. So let's look at what we're focused on in this prayer real quick. We focused on the heaven of our Father bringing heaven down and reigning in our lives. Him having full control of who we are. And then begging him to feed us physically and spiritually. That's awesome. This is all in this simple prayer, right? Go ahead. We have the next, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So this has all been, God, you are our ruler. God, feed us. Now this is the tough part. God, forgive us as we forgive those. You hear that? Think about that. That's a daily prayer. Forgive us. What does that mean? What does that look like? How does that respond? Many of us have a hard time even knowing what that looks like because we hold on to our own guilt. We hold on to the shame that we've done within the cross, and we look at what we've done, and we put Jesus on that cross, right? And we have to confront it in this prayer. Daily. Please forgive us. Forgive all my debts. As we also have forgiven our debtors. I like that those two are married. And later on, Jesus reemphasizes this further on after the prayer. And I'll explain that too, that there's more to this, but those two things are married together. If I'm asking for forgiveness, the things in which I hold on to have to be forgiven too. The hurt, the frustration, the things that people have said, the people have done, I have to forgive also. And I say it in this prayer. And it's not something I'm doing alone. This is where we get mixed up with this too. Remember who you're talking to. You're talking to your Father, you're talking to God, you're talking to your Creator, and you've asked Him to forgive you and help me forgive those who need to be forgiven. You're not in this alone. He understands your pain. He understands what you've done. As He already shows, He's forgiving you. You need to forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think a lot of us, we have this hope that this will make sure we never find ourselves in that moment where we can corrupt our spiritual life. But the reality of what he's saying here is, prepare us for this. Because it's going to come. We know you don't lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Every day there's going to be attacks. Every day you're going to have these thoughts in your mind that I can't believe that person said that about me. Should I post about it? Every day we live in a world right now that we feel like is just crumbling around us, and we feel like that people are falling into temptation left and right, and the reality is probably because of their prayer life, probably because they don't know who God is, probably because he's not living and reigning in their life, that they're finding themselves falling victim to the evil one. every day, there is this desire that we need to have and be prepared to allow God to move us beyond those thoughts, beyond those attacks, beyond those moments where we know our heart likes to linger sometimes. That's destructive to us in our relationship with God. Unfolding this prayer is so huge. And we just, many times we made this into just something that we say, maybe before a meal, maybe together as a church body, and we don't really understand the meat that's on this bone of a prayer. Knowing that He is my King, that He is my Father, that He directs my will from this point on when I say this prayer, that He provides that daily bread, that I believe that in the moment that I go hungry, I know He will provide it. That He helps, He forgives me, and He helps me forgive those, and He leads me into a place that is not going to tempt me if I follow Him. Go ahead. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Okay, so the prayer ended, and this is the extra that Jesus has given His own little commentary afterwards. And you have to ask yourselves, why is there extra commentary here? Because He understands the human condition. I don't know about you, but it is easy to hold on to the things in which people have done to you. It's easy to see how you feel like you have been a victim, and then it's easy to go and they must come to me for their forgiveness. They must change before I can forgive. And the reality, that's not in that. The moment that I ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, what He says is, you must also forgive others. There's no caveats of but. They must come to you to fix this first. They must, grovel for a little while before you know you can trust them again. It's not in there. Trust me, I've searched. You see, when God, in the beginning of this prayer, what did we say again? I'm going to keep revisiting it because it defines who I am from that moment that I pray it. He is my ruler, right? He is my identity. He reigns within me. And if that's true, then all my trust and all my being is found within Him, not the one that I hold a grudge against. You see, many times I've heard this story, and many times I've had these talks like, yeah, I want to forgive, but I don't know if I can trust. I don't know if I can put the same relationship back in that moment. And the reality for what we have with God, we find it through the scope of God's eyes, and we better live that out. That changes every relationship. It doesn't matter what their actions are. I'm not telling you to put yourself in a horrible position. What I'm telling you is how you change and how your heart is towards that position. If somebody hurts you, I'm not telling you to go back to that person so they can hurt you again. What I'm telling you is how you look at them through the heart of God. And you don't hold any of that stuff that once was there against them. I'm not telling you to go put yourself in that position where you can be hurt again. What I'm telling you is God loves you, and you love that person that hurt you. From whatever distance you can. Trust me. The more that you hold on to it, the more it corrupts your heart. The more it draws you away from God. I've been a victim of the pain and the hurt of somebody that I held on and waited and prayed for God to change that person. May they just know what they've done to me. May they just see it so they can be changed. And all of a sudden, I would say this was happening on for years in my life, and all of a sudden my spiritual walk with God became stale and I couldn't hear him anymore. I would sit alone spiritually and pray this prayer, but the reality was that the realm of who God was not in there. It was wanting that forgiveness of the other person, that person to be resentful for what they did. And I became resentful towards God because he wasn't answering my prayer. But what he was telling me is, Ben, let me change your heart and view them through God, through my lens. And they all suddenly, at that moment, they became that one that was lost. They became the one that needed God's grace. They became the one that needed that forgiveness that was found on the cross. And all of a sudden, Ben Alexander got put off to the side and said, oh, I find my identity in you, Jesus. You rule me. And all of a sudden, that relationship changed for eternity. And they still have never forgiven. They asked for forgiveness, but that wasn't what it's about. It's about knowing that God loves them despite of them. You see, within this context, within where they are too, like, let's look at the disciples, where they received every place they went. No. They would bring this message, and it was dangerous. It was one of those messages that could get you strung up. It could get you stoned. It could get you in trouble. It could just, you would take a beating for saying Jesus is the Lord and Messiah. Come and believe in him. He's got this amazing forgiveness. Come and see him. He can touch you. He can heal you. And they would get beaten up for that. They would have a lot of stuff that they could hold resentment towards, right? And he teaches them, hey, if I'm to forgive you, guess what you are supposed to do? Think about that with our approach to this world that we look at and we live in. We don't show the grace that God shows us half the time. We don't understand, they don't understand God. And we are called to be the messengers of this. We are called to be the messengers of his grace, his peace, his mercy. And allow God to do the convicting. As we pray, and we say this simple prayer, I didn't make us all say it, I realize that now. As we pray this out, it's got to be more than just a saying or a motto. When we pray before God, it needs to be one of those that we understand we are in the realm and moment with our Savior and Creator. It's not just a moment to bless food. It's not just this moment where I'm putting my time in. Prayer is not about our needs. Prayer is about expecting to have an encounter with God. When we talked about the very first Sunday of We Are Church, changing our perspective of how God can love us versus how we can love God when we come together. You see, when we pray, it's a sacred moment between us and God. And it's not about having the right words. It's not being eloquent in front of everybody. It's not knowing, you know, how do I approach this? It's being real before him and acknowledging that he is God. Acknowledging that he can love me the way that nobody else can. That he can forgive me the way nobody else can. That he can give me the strength to forgive other people like nobody else can. That he can protect me even when I'm in the world of that's degrading before us. Think about that. That's what those moments are with God. Prayer is so much more than we give it credit for. I love prayer lists. When I say this, please, I love prayer lists. But I'm going to tell you right now, to pray and put or to call or to email and say, can you put this on the prayer list, doesn't exempt you from praying. Wow. Prayer lists are awesome. I'm sorry. It doesn't exempt you for participating in that prayer. You don't hand it off and say, all right, it's being taken care of. God has called that whatever you have on your heart, whatever is going on, he's called you to be engaged with him about it. As a pastor, I want to be praying for you. But the reality is, as a pastor, I need to be praying with you. Please hear that. As a pastor, I want to be praying with our church. We love you. And when Jesus says this to his disciples, what he's giving them is the tool to engage in a moment with God. Imagine if we just lived this out on a daily routine, that we just prayed this prayer and honestly meant it. What would our life look like from this point on? I think from a world standpoint, it would look dangerous. That I could make a move from Decatur, Illinois to Springfield in a housing market that's scary, amazing, but also, oh my, you know? That I can pull my teenagers out of their school and go, okay, we're going to now put you in a new school, and now that school, I have a reputation at. Those teachers are gone, don't worry about it. That I'm going to call you to a place that you know some, but you don't know all. They know you. Some of you know me. And I'm saying, yes, okay, God, I'll follow you. And the world looks at that. You had a promising career where you were. What's going on? Why? Imagine if we pray this prayer and earnestly mean it every day. I challenge you this week to put this prayer on your heart, to not just say it in, okay, I woke up, I said the Lord's Prayer. I want you to honestly look at each segment of the prayer that we gave. Is God ruling in my life today? Have I asked for his daily bread today? Have I asked to be forgiven today? Some of us might need to search out, what do I need to be forgiven for? Have I let go and forgiven others today? Have I said, please don't lead me into temptation today? Imagine if we did that daily, where our walk with God would be, where would we be in the moment of sharing God's faith? I think many of us fear how sharing God's gospel is because we're not prepared daily to share it. We live in doubt. We think once we're questioned on something, I won't know the answer. That's not true. If the moment that we are connected with God, he will provide. Trust me. I've been in those moments, and I've been the dummy that I'm like, I have no clue what. Okay, let's talk about, you know, narcissism. Oh boy, that's a word. God is bigger than that. And he will use you when you stay connected to Him. My challenge for you this week is to read this Matthew 6, right? Matthew 6, 5, let's see, 5 through, sorry, what is it? 15. All right, you get to eat today. Matthew 6, 5 through 15. May it be on your heart this week. Pray diligently. Take segments each day and go, okay, are you my king? Are you my ruler today? Take that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, may your kingdom reign today. Lord, I pray for anybody that's doubting, anybody that knows that they've usurped you as the king of their life. Pray that we lay down our lives and we pick up the cross and that we follow you today. That you are our ruler. That we follow you. Lord, I pray that today we can have our daily bread. Lord, I pray that you can help us be healthy physically and spiritually. Lord, please forgive us this morning. Any way that has separated us, our choices that have separated us from you, please forgive us. Lord, I pray that that you help us forgive people that are so tough to forgive. I pray that you give us the strength. I pray that we understand what it means to forgive. What it means to live our life through your eyes and to see other people and how you created them and how you love them. And I pray that we can have that same way of looking at them. Help us with that, Lord. Lord, I pray that you help us with temptation. I pray that this week, I pray that we are not attacked by the evil one. I pray for those moments that we want to say something that we know it's going to be hurtful, painful, malicious. I pray for those moments that are in secret, that we're by ourselves and we have a choice whether or not to follow you or to run from you. Help us in those moments. Protect us, Lord. Lord, today I pray that we draw closer to you. Search our hearts out. That daily we turn to you. Daily we rely on you. I pray we understand that we're not in a one-sided relationship, we need to listen to your word. That we need to seek out your approval. Help us love you. Help us pick up the cross and follow you. May we have more moments with you this week. We give you all the glory. May you go knowing that God loves you. May you go knowing that His kingdom reigns in you today.